Well, I tell you what, after singing that, knowing how great God is,
yes,
you know, we could just say amen and go home right now. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? God is so great. He's such a blessing to us, and He loves us so much, my friends. You know, I can't express from my heart enough how much God loves you, how much God loves each and every one of us. We have such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to serve Him, and I'm so thankful for that. Oh, what a sweet, sweet time it is. Well, if you would take the Word of God and turn with us today to Philemon chapter 1. Philemon chapter 1. We're also going to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, Philemon chapter 1. We'll start out with, and we're just going to read one verse there, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In Philemon chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Read that last verse one more time. It says, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be reading beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. It's really sad today when the preacher can't bring spiritual understanding to you. It's so sad because that he tells us here that these folks were babes in Christ. You know, God wants us to grow. He wants us to become more than what we are in our faith. He wants our faith to grow. He wants our understanding to grow. And the only way that can grow is by and through the preaching of the Word of God and the studying of the Word of God and the service of the work of God. Let's go on and read in verse 2. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, why don't you preach this message, or why don't you preach like that? Well, sometimes the reason is because I know that the folks can't take it, you know? And so we bring messages so that the congregation can understand and that they can understand the truth. And sometimes we have to preach the milk, you know?
Right.
And sometimes we have to preach the meat. And man, I love preaching about the meat, amen?
Amen.
When we get down to it and we get all those things right with God, I love that.
Right.
We go on here and let's look at verse 3. Now why does he just do milk to these folks? Well, he answers the question, for ye are yet carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. They still have part of the flesh in their lives. They're Christians. They love the Lord, but there's still some flesh there. They're still yielding to things in the world. He goes on here and he says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase, or God hath given the increase. In other words, I'm not here to be praised. I'm not here to be lifted up on a pedestal. It is God that is to be lifted up. It's God who is to be praised. And if we ever, from this pulpit, whether it's me or someone else, is praising themselves instead of praising God, that'll be the last time they ever set foot in this pulpit. Amen? Because we're not here to praise men. We're not here to praise ourselves. We're here to lift up a holy, righteous God. He goes on here and he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And I'll stop reading right there for a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, I pray today that you would help us. Help us to understand your truth, Lord. Help us, Father, to walk through the pages of your word and Father, to find great truth. And Lord, may we stop there, Lord, at that truth, and may we gain and glean a deeper understanding. And Father, as we continue to walk through the pages of your word, Lord, can we find those things that bless us, Lord, but also those things that condemn us. Those things, Lord, that you have complaint with us about. And then, Father, show us that goodness once again. Show us the peace and the sweetness of your spirit. And Lord, allow this congregation, Lord, to be blessed this day. For Father, we ask this now in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and for his sake alone. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Well, tomorrow is Labor Day, isn't it? I want to tell you a few things about Labor Day. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Labor Day is observed, of course, the first Monday, rather, in September. Labor Day is an annual celebration of the social and economic achievements of American workers. Praise the Lord. Amen. The holiday is rooted in the late 19th century, when labor activists pushed for a federal holiday to be recognized and for many contributions that the workers have made to America's strength, prosperity, and well-being. There were some early adopters of this. Before it was a federal holiday, Labor Day was recognized by labor activists in individual states after municipal ordinances were passed in 1885 and 1886. A movement developed to secure state legislation. New York was the first state to introduce a bill, but Oregon was the first to pass a law recognizing Labor Day. On February 21st, 1887, four more states, Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York, passed laws creating a Labor Day holiday. By the end of the decade, Connecticut, Nebraska, and Pennsylvania had followed the suit. By 1894, 23 more states had adopted the holiday, and on June 28, 1894, Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September of each year a legal holiday. Now, it was founded by, they say, two men. One fella, his name is McGuire. And the other fellow, his name is McGuire. And they lean more towards McGuire than they do McGuire. Now, I know it's a little confusing, but they both worked, and they were hard laborers in the manufacturing. And they were, one of them was the general, worked in this as the secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners and the co-founder of an American Federation Labor. And then the other fella, he founded actually the holiday itself. So recent research supports the contention that Matthew McGuire, later the secretary of the local 344 in the International Association of Machinists in Paterson, New Jersey, proposed a holiday in 1882. Now I'm going to stop reading that part there and share something else with you. The very first Labor Day holiday was celebrated on Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882, in New York City, in accordance with the plans of the Central Labor Union. The Central Labor Union held its second day Labor Day holiday just a year later on that same date in 1883. It is now a nationwide holiday. Some businesses give people that day off. And years ago, when it was first started, it was a festive holiday. It was a holiday that was set aside so that those workers could enjoy their families that day, and there would be festivities, there would be picnics in the park and things of that nature. It was just family time and a good time to be together with your family. And so this was what Labor Day was proposed, cookouts and so forth. Now, I don't know exactly what you do on Labor Day anymore. We think about Labor Day around us right now, and we probably labor on that day, you know. And so I want to take that word labor today, and I want us to understand about labor for the Lord. The world may give, or the United States may give employees Labor Day off, but do you know that God never gives us a day off? We serve God every single day of our lives. And I want to speak to you on the subject today of this. Are you a fellow laborer? Now, I battled today about preaching this message because the Lord had laid on my heart another message to preach that I preached at the Old School Baptist Church down there when we had revival meeting there. And I thought about preaching and felt like maybe God might lead me to preach that this is not the America I grew up in. I'm not going to preach that message today because God didn't give me liberty to do it. But He did give me liberty to preach this message. And I want you to understand some things today, that God wants us to be a laborer. But not only are we laborers, we're fellow laborers together. And that's what 1 Corinthians, and that's what Philemon tells us there, that we are laborers, but we are co-laborers. We're laboring for the Lord, we're servants of God, and we do that together. You see, nothing can really get accomplished the way that God wants it to be done unless we all work together. Now, that's what a church is supposed to be doing anyway, isn't it? A church, brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are saved, we're supposed to be working together to make sure that, God's blessings and the things that He desires for our church is accomplished. Now, God, number one, God has called all of us to be co-laborers. Let's look down to verse 9. In our scripture in 1 Corinthians. Notice he says here, and this is Paul talking to these folks, and this is the church that he's talking to. He says, for we are laborers, notice that word, together. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The husbandry, a husbandry person would be the person that would take care of the garden. So God is relating the church to a garden here. He's relating us to something that you and I are supposed to take care of. We're supposed to spiritually go around and trim the hedges. Amen? And honestly, sometimes in our churches, there needs to be some hedges that are trimmed. Right. And what I'm talking about here is some sinful ways, some sinful things that we do, some actions that we have in our lives, some things that we do outside the church that we know are wrong. And yet sometimes we even do those things on the inside of the church. We must be very careful about the world and bringing the world into the church and what we show of the world inside the church as well. Remember, we're Christians. We are to be different. God says that we are a peculiar generation. We are to be peculiar. We are to be odd, if you say. And I know years ago that people used to say, well, you Christians, you say you're peculiar. Well, that just simply means you're odd. Well, I'm okay with being odd. I am an odd guy. I'm from the South. And everywhere I go, people say, you're not from here, are you? Just the day before yesterday, I was somewhere, and the lady I was talking to, she said, now, where are you from? I wanted to say Mars, but I didn't do that, you know. I get asked that a lot. Well, I do speak different, you know. And I was at the hospital the other day visiting John Cutshaw's sister. She was in the hospital. She's home now. And the nurse that was there at the desk, you know, before you go into the rooms, I spoke to her because I knew her. She'd been to church here. And she says to me, she says, do you remember the first time I met you? And I said, I do. And she said, remember I asked you your name? And you said, Tim. And she asked me, she said, was that two syllables or one syllable? Do you remember that, Sister Charlotte? And she was speaking about this, and we laughed and we joked about it, you know. The reason she laughed about it was because I said, well, it's one syllable, you know. And she said, well, it didn't sound that way. It sounded like two, Tim, you know. Well, us Southern folks, we do draw things out a little bit. But you know something I've noticed since I've been in this area of Pennsylvania? A lot of y'all have a lot of the same inclinations that we had, you know, down south. Y'all are not so much different up here in this part of Pennsylvania than we were down in the old South, you know. You got a little bit of root there, I guess, somewhere. But what I'm telling you today is that together, you and I must work together to serve the Lord. We are all fellow laborers, not just with ourselves, but we're fellow laborers with a holy and a righteous God. And being so, since we're fellow laborers with God, we need to always present ourselves in service. We need to present ourselves knowing that we are in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And there are things that sometimes we wear, sometimes that we say, sometimes that the way we walk, sometimes even the way we sing or what we sing, sometimes is not right in the presence of God. And so we must be very careful about that, to present ourselves in such a way where God can be blessed and God can be proud that we are His fellow laborers. Amen? I love rubbing shoulders with God. I love and I enjoy rubbing shoulders with God, but I want to rub shoulders with Him in the right way. Many years ago, my wife and I, we were at an event, and we were about to go into the building, and it was a crowded building, and the show didn't start until a little later, and everybody was getting there, and they didn't open the doors of the building, and everybody was just pushing on each other. You know, if you've ever been in a big crowd like that, you kind of get all bottlenecked, you know. Well, all of a sudden, I felt somebody moving through the crowd, and the crowd was kind of rustling a little bit. They still hadn't opened the doors yet, and I turned around, and about that time, here comes Jerry Falwell, and Jerry Falwell rubs up against my shoulder and bumps butt with me, you know. And he goes up to the door, and they let him in, and I think, why'd they let Jerry Falwell in? Well, they had asked him to have the prayer before the little show that was going on there. And so that's why he had gone in. But I thought to myself, here we are, there's Jerry Falwell. We're hundreds of miles away from home. And we think about this, and there he is, someone that we know or someone that we know of. And we bump bottoms with him, you know. We're all fellow laborers together with God. And as we as a church labor together, listen, God has called all of us to be His laborers. He included everyone that is saved. If you're saved today, you need to be working for the Lord. You need to be serving the Lord. And there's no such thing as an unemployed Christian. Because God has so much for us to do. I mean, just look at our calendar for September. There are so many opportunities for service, so many opportunities to learn about God, so many opportunities to do something for God this month now, today being the first. What a blessing it is to know that we can serve the Lord and know this is something that God desires for each one of us. In fact, the Great Commission is for every man and every woman and every child to go out, isn't it? God tells us all to serve. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen, He says. And that word amen there just simply means let it be. Let it be so. And then one of the things that I think is so special about the service of God and working for the Lord and laboring for Him and laboring together is God has given every one of us the tools and the ability to do what He's asked us to do. Every one of us. First of all, He saved us. And God does not leave us saved and then not give us some tools to do the work that He's given us. God called me to preach, and so He gave me tools to do that. I think He called me to sing, and He gives me tools to do that. I have a voice, amen? And y'all know my voice can get pretty loud sometimes. And sometimes I can speak real quiet-like. I have a big range in my voice, a big range in my volume. And what God does is God gives us these gifts, a gift of being able to talk to people, you know. Brother Woody talks about spiritual gifts here months ago, and there are many spiritual gifts that all of y'all can have today. And so God has given us, and He's given us everything we need to do His work. There was a man by the name of Hermann Ostries, and he had a barn floor that was flooded with 29 inches of water because of a rising creek. The Bruno, Nebraska farmer invited a few friends to a barn raising. He needed to move his entire 17,000-pound barn to a new foundation, more than 143 feet away. His son Mike devised a lattice work of steel tubing and nailed, bolted, and welded it on the outside of the barn. Hundreds of handles were attached. After one practice lift, 344 volunteers came and slowly lifted the barn, walked it up the slight incline, each supporting less than 50 pounds. In just 3 minutes, the barn was on its new foundation. Imagine that. You see, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish for the Lord if we work together. And we do it with a plan. And a plan is right here. Do you know this? The Bible is a roadmap for us, my friend. It is the blueprint for everything that we do. And as we get into the Bible and we study the Word of God, we learn these things that God has given us. We learn about the tools that He's given us, the gifts that He's given us. We learn about all these things. And the body of Christ then can accomplish great things when we work together. And in my vision for this church, a vision that God placed on me the very first time I ever came to this church, that this church already is a great church, but God wants this church to be a greater church. Amen?
Amen.
A church that when people are asked about this church, do you know about Calvary Independent Baptist Church, that they know, yes, that's that church down in McConnellsburg, and that church down there, they got some good workers, they got some good servants. Man, people are flocking to that church because they love God and they want to serve God, and there's a great opportunity down there at that church. And sometimes a lot of people know about our church when I speak to them. Sometimes people say, well, I've been to that church. I was over in Chambersburg here a few weeks ago, and as I was there talking to a person, and I asked them where they went to church, because I always try to witness to people, and I asked them, I said, where do you go to church? And they said, well, I really don't go. And I said, well, why don't you go to church? She said, well, I used to go. And I said, well, where did you used to go? And she said, well, I used to go to a little church over in the town that you live. And I said, well, what was that? And she said, well, I think it was called Calvary. And I said, well, that's amazing. I said, that's amazing because I'm the pastor of Calvary Independent Baptist Church. She said, yeah, that's the one. And I thought to myself, and I said, you know how ironic that I meet this total stranger that used to come to the church. But how sad it is that she used to come here. You see, I want, and I know that God wants people saying, oh, I go to that church now. Preacher, you probably don't recognize me because there's so many people in the church that you can't get around to everyone. At every service, I try to get around to every single person and personally say thank you or good morning or something to you. And I do that for a reason, because I want to remember you. I want to know you. I want to work with you today. We are co-laborers for God. And we need to have a desire when there's anything at the church that needs to be done. We need to have a desire to do it and do it as quickly, as efficiently as we can get it done. God has called all of us to rise to be co-laborers together. And secondly today, God has equipped everyone He has called. He's given them different gifts. Everyone can pray. How many of y'all can pray? Anybody? Well, a few of you can't. I don't know why you didn't raise your hand. If you're a Christian, you should be able to pray, amen? Everyone can pray. Do you know that everyone can come to church? That's something you can do for the Lord. You can pray for your church. You can pray for your pastor. And I hope and pray that you pray for me. You can pray for our missionaries. But the most important that you can pray for is those that are lost. You can pray for those to be saved, and you can go tell people about that. You can do something to help them to become saved. So there are different talents that God has given us. And God is interested in how many talents that we have. He's interested in how that we're using those talents that we have as well. God definitely wants us to use our talents for Him. And I go back and I think of great singers, you know. People that have those unique voices that they can just mesmerize you with their voice. And I think of that and I think, why don't they use that voice for the Lord? I think of very intelligent people. What is his name? Mr. Jobs that started Apple, you know. Wasn't it there in his garage that they started him and another fella? And now this great big conglomeration of a company. Probably half the congregation has something from Apple from that company with you today. The intellect and the knowledge that these people have. What if that man, what if Steve Jobs had taken that understanding, that intellect, that knowledge that he had and brought it into the church as a co-laborer with God? You see, that type of intelligence is what we need in the house of God. But that doesn't mean that God just wants smart people. God wants everybody. You say, preacher, why don't you say dumb? Because I'm not going to call y'all dumb. What I'm saying is that God uses every one of us, but those with higher intelligence, He can use those in special ways as well. He uses those with lower intelligence. And again, I'm not picking on anyone today, but God uses all kinds of people in His Word. Do you know David was just a little shepherd boy that I mentioned this morning? He was ruddy. The Word of God says he was a ruddy-looking fella. That means he was kind of short and kind of bashful and so forth. He wasn't big like his other brothers and muscle-bound and stuff like that. He was just something different, you know. But God used that boy. And God used him in a mighty way. And then remember there when Jesus is teaching on the shores of Galilee, and there's over 5,000 people there. Actually, if you'll look at the scripture, you'll find out that there was close to 10 to 15,000 people there. Because there was men and women and children there. And there, that great group, here comes a little boy. The disciples said, look, these people are hungry, you know. Y'all probably getting a little hungry for lunch here in a little bit too. These people were hungry. And Jesus said, well, that's okay. Let me look for just a minute. And I paraphrase, you know. And Jesus said, oh, here's a little boy. And the little boy has 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus says, have him to come up here and let me see that. And he begins to take the fish, and he begins to start taking it off, passing it out, the bread, breaking it off and passing it out. Continue to do that. Everyone got something to eat there that day. And the Bible said that because they all worked together and God did a wonderful thing, that little boy didn't just have that small amount of fish and bread to take home. The Bible said they were able to take up 12 baskets full of the remnants of the bread and the fish. Listen, my friend, that's a special understanding of even economics there. You know, what he gave became more than what he gave. And what he received was a whole lot more. What a blessing for his family. What a blessing for mom. Can you imagine that little boy when he got back home and he opened the door and his mama said, where's the meat, you know? Where's the food? And he says, hang on, mama, I got to go out there because I couldn't carry it all. And some of the fellows came and helped me with it. And here's one basket. And here's another. And another. And another. And his mama's eyes were bugging out at that moment. And then as he brought in that 12th basket and set it down, his mama was probably jumping up and down saying, we got enough food, we can eat, we can survive, we can do anything that God wants us to do. See, God can use anybody. I know our boys and girls are down in their classes right now, but, you know, God can use them little boys and girls. I think about little Bennett over here. He's so cute as he walks around every time that we have handshaking. And he walks around and he shakes hands, you know. this morning before service started, he was holding up his bulletin and he was pointing at me. And I thought, well, why is he doing that? And I came by to shake their hands, Hope said, he's trying to show you that your picture is in the bulletin. I guess that was the first time he had noticed that little picture in the bulletin of me. And he'd say, Pastor him, you know. Listen to him. God can use all these people, you know. God may use you one day to do something very, very special. And I think right now he is using some of you in special ways. I see growth and spiritual growth in some of y'all. And I want to continue to see that growth. And the only way that really will happen is we co-labor together, you see. And God wants it. We can sing, we can teach, we can encourage. I think of Sister Lou. And I'm not normally one that points out fingers and people in the congregation, but I think of Sister Lou. Sister Lou is always trying to encourage people, you know. She's always, and when we're teaching or when we're preaching, sometimes on Wednesday night or in prayer time, Lou will say something, try to encourage people, you know. And she'll give us her thoughts on it. And I'm glad she does that because, I mean, she's straightforward on it. I mean, you listen to Lou, she's going to tell you what is, you know. Isn't that right, Sister Laura? She does. I'm sure Brother Ed's heard some of it before, too. That's probably why they've been together for so long, because she probably told them, y'all better not get separated. Praise the Lord. You see, we can sing, teach, encourage. There's different abilities that we have. And God measures our service by our ability and by the willingness that we have. The willingness that we have to serve. You know, sometimes God looks for outgoing people, but then sometimes he looks for shy people. I was just talking to someone this morning about doing something, you know. And they were talking about the shyness that they have. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, when God called me to preach, I told God, I said, you don't want me to preach, God. And it was almost like God said, why? And I said, well, because you know me, I'm very bashful. I'm very shy. And I think I've told y'all this before, that when I would go to a restaurant, I was afraid that everybody was watching me eat and chew my food. And so I would try to keep my mouth closed and chew my food, you know, not realizing that looked more goofy than opening my mouth and chewing, you know, at times. You got to open your mouth to get the food in. Well, I tell you folks, that shyness moved away. That bashfulness moved away. Y'all know I'm not shy now. I sat up in front of the pulpit and preached to hundreds before. And it's the same as preaching to five. I preached to the small amounts and the big amounts. But I'm glad to be preaching to you today, dear friends, sharing the gospel. Do you know that you're never alone when you're saved? You're never alone. You're always there with God. Now, number three, and we're going to move on. God promises that there will be a payday one day. You see, Labor Day, and some businesses give you that day off, and it's a paid day off. It's in your holidays list, you know. My wife gets it as a paid day off. I like that, you know. You get paid for doing nothing. Well, friends, there's so many rewards with God. God gives us payment. There's rewards on this earth, but what is even better than that is the best rewards are when we get to heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, one of the first ones that we will see, I'm sure the very first one that we will see, is Jesus the Christ himself. Amen. And y'all better look out. Because I'm going to be breaking out of line, and I'm going to be running to Jesus, you know. And if Jesus ever sits down, I sure hope he's got a big lap, because I'm going to sit on his knee, or at least kneel down in front of him, and ask him all kinds of questions, you know. Because there are things in my heart that I'd like to know that sometimes I don't see in the Word. They may be there, but I just hadn't understood it yet. And he's coming back one of these days. And he's going to take us home. He's going to walk through the gates. He's going to turn around. He's going to say, come on in. Come on in. What a sweet, sweet blessing that's going to be. And then he's going to judge us. He's going to judge us for the work, for the labor that we have done here on this earth. I like that too. Because there's going to be some good rewards that come from that. Crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus. The rewards in heaven, but not just the rewards in heaven. The reward of an eternity with no sin. An eternity with no darkness. An eternity with the right temperature all the time, you know. It's an eternity with Jesus and with God and with the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be such a blessing. This is exactly what God intended to begin with. Maybe heaven might be a little bit like the Garden of Eden. Who knows? I'm sure there's probably a garden there. We'll find out one of these days when we get there. I know there's streets of gold. I mean, we wear it on our ears and around our necks now. But listen, the Lord says, that's cheap stuff. We'll put it down for pavement, you know. And he puts it down for pavement that we can walk on. That's going to be a bright city, you know. I like brightness. I can see better when the lights are good and bright, you know. So here's the question for you as we close this lesson out today. Are you willing to be a fellow laborer with Jesus? Are you willing to be a fellow laborer with God? What can you do? Well, think about it. What can you do in this church? Well, do you know that you can even do that at your own job? Say, preacher, I can't take my Bible to work. Well, you can take the Bible to work in your voice and in your heart and in your knowledge. Read the Word. Study the Word. Memorize the Word. And then you can do it in your home. And that's very important, friends. Because that's the first place we need to be doing it, is in our homes, teaching our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So I guess the question is this, is what will you do? Will you do anything? Will you just sit on a pew and warm a pew? Be a bench warmer? Be on the sidelines, never jumping in? When I go to a gospel meeting where there's preaching at, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm chomping at the bit to jump up there and preach too, you know. I get so excited, especially when that preacher's preaching. I'll get excited and I'll shout amen, preach it, brother, and all those things. Not because I want to be noticed, because honestly, I really don't want to be noticed. I do it because I want to praise the Lord, and I'd like to jump up there and do it too. I've gone to gospel concerts and where that the Inspirations were singing, for instance, or some group like that, and I'm sitting in the seat listening to them singing, and I'll sing along with them, and Debbie will punch me in the side, and she'll say, be quiet, quit doing that. You know. Well, I can't help it. Because I want to sing. I want to sing the praises of God. I want to lift Him up. I want to enjoy God. I want to praise God today. And that's what God wants us to do, friend. We're co-laborers together. Let's work together. Let's work together to grow this church. Let's work together to grow your spiritual families. Let's work together to do all these things. And not for us, but for our holy, righteous God today. And let Him be praised. Can we do that today? Amen. We sure can. With everyone standing with heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist coming and song director coming. God knows who you are. He knows your heart. He knows your desires, your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly what you can do. He knows exactly what you can't do. And God will never lay anything on your heart to do that He's not already given you the ability to do it. So friends, God's asking you today, commit to something, my friends. Commit to serve the Lord today. It's more than just being saved. Some people come and they get saved and they think that's all that it is. But friend, it's not all. There's service that we give. So let's clock in. Amen. Let's clock in today and let's be ready to serve. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I just want to say thank you. Lord, you are so good to us. And Father, you've been better to us today than we deserve. And so, Father, I ask you now to take charge in this lesson. Help us, Father, to see that, Lord, there are things in this world like Labor Day that, Lord, we can take a thought of that, a topic, Lord, and we can teach and preach, Lord, your word about it. So, Father, help us today. Help us, Lord, to leave this place today being full spiritually, being ready to serve you, being ready to work together with our brothers and sisters here to do that. For, Father, we are all friends and family here. So, Father, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister Heather, if you would come, let's sing a song. You know, if God's laid something on your heart that you need to pray about, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. It's okay to come to the altar and pray. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody is going to make fun of you for doing it. But I know probably there's some things on your heart, maybe some sins that you've committed that you want to ask God to forgive you for. You can do it right here at the altar. I'm not going to embarrass you. You know that. That's not what I am or who I am. And that's not who God is. God just wants to bring you in. Or maybe you've been here in this church and you've been visiting. And you say, well, I want to come. I want to join this church. I want to be a member of this church and work together. How about it, friends? Would you come and unite with the church today as we sing?
539.
Bible says today is the day of salvation. And wow, I love the Lord, I tell you. And I'm thankful that we have a group of people that I feel like are saved. But friends, sometimes there's things in our life that happen and the devil draws us away from God, and that forgiveness needs to be there. I don't want to go to heaven with scars and sins on my life. I'd like to know that when the Lord comes back, that I have been prayed up, that I've asked God to forgive me of my sins, and those have been put under the blood. How many of y'all would like to know that too? Anybody? I would. And we can do that. We can do it. And we can work together to make sure that that happens. Be accountable to each other. Amen? Be accountable to one another. Well, let's go ahead and be dismissed. Remember, tonight, come back 6:30 for services. We'll be having our Lord's Supper tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. I was picking with my wife the other day because you know, there's a controversy between lunch and dinner, you know. And some people say dinner. Dinner is at 6 o'clock. And some people say, supper. I'm a supper man, you know. My wife is a dinner lady. And so there's a confusion there. And so I told her, I said, you know, I said, it's called the Lord's Supper. Even God knew what it was called. It's not called the Lord's Dinner. It's called the Lord's Supper. You call it whatever you want to, my friends. But I tell you what, it's a blessing. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And, Father, opportunities you give us today for service. And we just want to say thank you for it. Lord, you're so good to us. Father, again, we ask now that you'll go with us as we leave this place. Lord, keep us all safe so we can come back tonight. And, Lord, we just ask for these things to be done in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.